First John chapter 1 tonight is where we'll continue. We'll begin in verse number 7. 8, 9, and 10 is where we're going to be tonight. Looking at this subject of walking in the light. And we have been on this just 4 weeks. It seems like it's been a long time that we've been on this study. But just the information that we're looking at and the topic that we're discussing is so prevalent for our day. But in John's day, it was prevalent as well. Church members were debating and trying to decide if it's all right to continue to live for Christ or do I even want to live for Christ? And then they were debating, is Jesus really Christ? Did he really come? You know, this is just 60 years roughly from the time Christ ascended back into heaven. So even in that day, there were questions, there were debates, there were decisions that were being made that was really a great falling away in this early church. And so today, as we look at our surroundings and the circumstances and the events of life that we face, even today, we have decisions to make, choices to make. You made a choice tonight to come to church. You made a choice to live for God today. You made a choice today to walk in the light and not in the darkness. So I pray you did. So these are relevant to John's day, these discussions, but they're relevant for our day as well. The Bible is ever present. It is a living book that has a living message for us today. So let's go back to the Word of God in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray now that You would bless the reading of Your word, the teaching of Your word. I pray the Holy Spirit of God would teach us tonight. Illuminate the Scriptures in our minds and our hearts that we might understand these great truths that we're going to look at tonight. Use me as Your vessel, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. The term imposter is a term that we're all familiar with. And this term is in John's day also relevant. Some people in John's day taught that if they love God enough and desire to obey Him, eventually they would become nearly perfect, sinless. That's impossible in this life. I don't care how much we love Christ. I don't know how much we are obedient and faithful to Christ. We are not going to become sinless. Even though we know that we are not perfect, sometimes we can be tempted to think about ourselves as better than others. Sometimes we think that our sins are not that bad. Well, God understands sin is sin to God. No matter if it's this sin or that sin, it's sin to God. And Jesus died for all sin. Who among us has not pretended to be better than what we are? Especially at certain moments in our lives where we're putting on airs or trying to become something in front of others that maybe we're not. It's called imposter syndrome. Imposter syndrome. It's real. It's that extent that we are trying to make ourselves something that we're not. We sit up straighter. We say the positive affirmations where they're necessary. We try to play tricks on our own brains into believing we are something that we wish we were. We even have a saying for it in our society today. This imposter syndrome. It is fake it until you make it. Well, I don't care how much I fake being perfect. I'm not going to become perfect in this life. I don't care how much I desire to be sinless. I'm not going to become sinless in this life. The best, most effective liars first must lie to themselves. They're lying to themselves about something to become a manipulator, an effective manipulator of others. They're first lying to themselves. Here John is writing to the church and they're debating if Jesus really came, if he really was in the flesh, if he's really God. And John, as we've seen, John saying, I've touched him, I've heard him, I've witnessed what he has done. He came and he is God. But these believers of this first century saying, well, maybe he didn't. And they're starting to cause doubt in the church. But it starts with themselves. And John is writing to the church here in chapter 1 where he's trying to help them understand Jesus did come. And why you're lying to yourself and having this imposter syndrome, it says, because you're walking in darkness. That's what chapter 1's about. You don't have the same desire to serve God like you used to because you're walking in the darkness. You've chosen the darkness, maybe not consistently in your life, but in instances you've chosen the darkness and you're not walking with Christ like you used to. So now Satan is using that to manipulate and to cause you doubt and to cause you to start lacking in your obedience to God. As often as we sin, sin hurts us. It hurts our relationship with God. It affects our direct line of communication with God. And if we are not careful, we will lie to ourselves, causing ourselves to believe this lie that, oh, it's just not that bad. God understands. God knows I had to do that. God is holy. God is just. God is righteous. Sin to Him is unholy, evil, wickedness. And it caused His Son to go to the cross and die for it. We try to tell ourselves, let's make sense of this reason why I did this sin, this, again, imposter syndrome. We pass the blame. We try to pass it off as an accident. Or we tell ourselves how necessary it was to sin. It's not necessary to sin. We had a choice. And we chose to sin. Just like Adam had a choice in the Garden of Eden. Eve was deceived. Adam was disobedient. Adam knew what Eve has done. And now he had the choice. Do I take of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and eat of it as God has commanded me not to? Or do I choose to eat it with my wife? And he chose to sin. He chose to disobey God. There's a term that's a fairly new term for perpetuating lies. We perpetuate lies about our sin, and we perpetuate lies about the sins we have done to others. And this phrase, this new phrase, is called gaslighting. I've only heard it a few times before I finally had to say, what in the world is this they're talking about? Gaslighting is this term where we're perpetuating lies about our sin or about the sins we have done to others. And it goes on to try to describe this term as we try to convince people that we've sinned against, that it really wasn't that bad. And it was really their fault that we did this to them. They made us do it. It's the act of twisting truth until the person that has been harmed by sin starts to feel, did it really happen? Am I to blame? Is it my fault? And they start questioning reality of that sin, blaming themselves when it really was someone else. There are ways that we might attempt to think about our sins as not too bad. One is called blame shifting. We might say, it's not my fault that I got angry. It's your fault because you cut me off in the middle of the road. Anger is a sin. Oh my. How about blame sharing? Often we think our sins are not so bad because everyone does it. You've heard the saying, you've probably said it yourself. Not everybody's doing it. Everybody jump off the bridge. You're going to jump off the bridge? Everybody jumps off the cliff. Are you going to jump off the cliff? Blame sharing. We try to make our sin not so bad when we rename it. We do not call it sin. Sometimes what God calls sin, we no longer call sin. We know that when God tells us to obey those who have authority over us, He wants us to do it immediately. Hebrews 13:17 says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. But we think, well, if we wait a half hour, maybe they'll change their mind and I don't have to obey them. If I wait just another, when we were kids, we're like, well, if I wait 15 minutes, maybe Dad will take the trash out. Oh, no, I took the trash out. We have a generation that's coming up that I'm afraid does not know how to work. I have no idea how to work. I was with a contractor today, and he was finishing some work at my house, and he had just hired a new helper, a gopher. He'd had him for 2 weeks. He's a nice young man. I was talking to him, real young man. And when I had the contractor by himself, I was like, how's he doing? Because I know he had had a hard time hiring anyone that would show up. He said, well, he shows up. I said, well, praise the Lord for that. Every day he showed up for 2 weeks. He said, but I have never found an individual like this. This contractor is an electrician and a plumber. And this helper didn't know what a Phillips and a flathead screwdriver were. He didn't know what a crescent wrench was. He didn't know what a monkey wrench was. You know, there was simple things that we take for granted. I mean, I grew up, I didn't get to put stuff together. My dad would give me stuff that was broken to take apart, to figure out how it worked. And that's how I learned to use tools. I was like, man, I'm good at tearing stuff up. You need something broken, just let me know. I'm good at it. Don't expect it to work when I'm done with it, but I'm good at taking things apart. But he's like, he shows up. I'm going to give him a chance. He shows up. He's here every time I'm supposed to be here and time he's supposed to be here. That's a feather in his cap. He said, but I'm having to train him. I said, well, isn't that a good thing? He said, well, I'd like him to come with a little more skill. But he said, I don't have to untrain him in the fields that I'm trying to train him in. I get to train him from scratch. But he said, I sure would have loved him to come with some knowledge about a tool. We rename sin. I don't know how I got on that. But we rename sin. And when we rename it, Oh, the instance I was given is when someone over authority over us tells us to do something, God expects us to do it then. But we are like, well, I'll get around to it. Do you ever have a round to it? You ever seen a round to it? We had a church out in North Dakota. We gave out as Father's Day gifts, I think, a wooden coin that was a round to it. See, when you were going to get round to it, okay, get round to it. Yeah. But we also try to say our sin's not so bad by justifying our sin. Finding good reasons, good in quotation marks, for sinning. This will hit us all. Well, maybe not all of us. The fact of the matter is the speed limit is the speed limit. If it says 45 through town here, then the speed limit's 45 or under. And many of us, and I'm guilty, we justify our sin by making it sound not quite so bad. Well, 5 miles over, he's not going to stop me. Well, maybe he's low on his quota and you're the only one he's seen. Our officers are ready to stop you. I remember, bad reference, but I remember, I can't drive 55, sorry. 55's hard for me. Just like 35's hard. You go through those 25-mile-an-hour zones, oh my goodness. Let me get out and just walk. But we justify our sin. It is breaking the law, is it not? It's not a suggested speed limit, it is the law. It's there for our safety and the safety of others. I'll just leave that right there because I'm guilty. We also try to make our sin not sound so bad by ignoring it. Sometimes we know we have sinned, but we just ignore it. We know that we should ask for forgiveness, but we just let it slide. God will understand. These are just a few examples of how we start to think that we're pretty good people. But it's a very dangerous road to be on. Because we start to think that we are not that bad. And the sin we commit is not viewed by God as same as someone else's bigger sins. If we think this way, then we begin to think that we do not need God's forgiveness. Well, it was just a little lie. Remember the black lies, the gray lies, the white lies, the little lies. You go over to Revelation, liars have their part with whoremongers and adulterers. God looks at lies just like everything else. It's sin. If we think this way that our sin might not need forgiveness, if God will understand, it will lead us to a less reliance on Jesus and more on us. My strength's weak. My abilities fail. My intellect is not as wise as it should be. But boy, does God have all those perfect. I just need to rely on Him. If we are truly honest with ourselves before a holy, righteous God, we all struggle with sin. Or we can put it in another way. We all still sin. We are not perfect. There is nothing in the Bible that talks about sinless perfection. Unfortunately, this will continue. This sin problem will continue as long as we're in this mortal body. But I like what one pastor said. He said, as Christians, we will not be sinless, but we should sin less. As Christians, we will not be sinless, but we should sin less. Keep short accounts with God. 1 John 1:8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. John, the apostle, is saying this. He is including himself. If we say that we have no sin, John realized he's still a sinner. As we saw last week, light is who God is. God is light. It's not that it says light is God. It is God is light. There is absolutely no darkness in Him. None. But tonight let's move on to the second aspect of light. We'll cover a few more and there'll be one more next week. The second aspect of light is that light is where fellowship is. Notice verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Light is where fellowship with God is. We learn that fellowship is where a special relationship can occur, where it is found. John is telling us that that special relationship with God, that fellowship we have and desire with God, is not found in darkness, but in light. When we do the things that are against the ways of God, we will not find God there. We will not find a special relationship with God there. He is not in the darkness. He is light. You won't find an alligator in the desert. Oh, I hope you don't. You won't find grits on a Chinese buffet. You won't find total agreement on social media. And you won't find God walking in darkness. When we live in unholiness, when we live in unforgiveness, when we live in unkindness, when we live in ungodliness, we will not find God there. We will not find a relationship with God there. We will not find fellowship with God there. The special relationship that we desire with God and the relationship we need with God is found by walking in the light. Not only that, but the special relationship that we need with others is found in walking in the light of God. Verse 7 said again, if we walk. If, it's a question mark there. If, a choice there. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. If you want to experience that kind of relationship with other people that you are created to experience, you must walk in the light. Light is where godly fellowship is. Another aspect of light here is talked about is light is where cleansing is. Notice again, verse 7, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light and we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. What happens if we are walking in darkness and we want to get out of the darkness? What happens if we are walking in evilness and wickedness and sin and we want to get out of it? Go to the light. Go to the light. If you're stuck in a dark cave and your battery-powered flashlights have died, horrors upon horrors to me. If you want to find the way out of that dark cave, you start looking for light and start going towards the light. If we're in darkness, go to the light of the Word of God. Go to the light of Christ. There is no darkness in Him. If you're dirty, if you're stained by sin in your heart, if you're stained by sin in your mind, or your life is consumed with evilness and wickedness and sin, go to Jesus, the light, for cleansing. For it says in verse 7 at the end, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. You come to Jesus in this manner, you're not going to be judged. You're going to be forgiven. You're going to be cleansed. John says that if we say that we have no sin, we're lying to ourselves. The truth's not in us. John is saying that we have sinned and that we will continue to sin. And when we do, we should go to the light of Christ. Verse 9 is very, very beautiful. It says, if we confess our sins, this is personal, not to a priest, not to a preacher, to God. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What happens when we go to Jesus for cleansing from our sin, from our evilness, from our wickedness, for our choosing to be in the darkness rather than the light? He says He will forgive. Can God lie? Titus tells us that God cannot lie. Can God break a promise? No. Jesus is faithful. If we go to Him for forgiveness of our sins, He will not only forgive our sins, He will make us clean. It says in verse 9, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He not only forgives it and forgets it, He cleanses us. He not only wipes away the sin, but He wipes away the guilt of the sin. And He promises to not only forgive it, but to forget it, never to bring it up again. He's not remember? No. As far as the east is from the west, behind His back, in the deepest of the seas. When we go to Jesus for forgiveness, for cleansing, God then looks at us. And He doesn't see our sin. He doesn't see any guilt of sin in our lives. He doesn't see any unrighteousness. He sees Jesus. That's what He sees when you get cleansed by the blood of Jesus. When you go to the light and walk in the light, God looks at you and sees light. Because you're walking in the light. Light is where cleansing is. There's one other aspect we'll look at next week in chapter 2. But let me give you this and we'll close tonight. There's five lies that keep us from going to Jesus for cleansing. Five lies that keep us from going to Jesus for forgiveness. and they're all right out of the Scriptures. The first one's found in verse 6 of 1 John chapter 1. We've read it, but again it says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. We lie about our fellowship with God. If you are choosing to walk in darkness, then you do not have a relationship that is close like you want it with God. You don't have that fellowship with God. You don't have a direct line of communication to His throne because you are lying. You are choosing to fellowship with darkness rather than light. Secondly, we lie about our nature. Notice verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Romans chapter 3, verses 10 and verse 23 teach us that we all have sinned. There's none righteous, no, not one. And so if we say that we have no sin, as it says in verse 8, we are lying about our very nature. We're all sinners. Verse 10 is the third lie we tell ourselves. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. We lie about our deeds. About our deeds. If we say that we have not sinned, well, we know we have sinned. So we're lying about our deeds, our actions. The next is in chapter 2, and verse number 4. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. A fourth lie of keeping us from going to Jesus is we're lying about our obedience. We're lying about our obedience. He saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments. We're not obeying His commandments. We're a liar. And the last lie that keeps us from going to Jesus for forgiveness and cleansing is in verse 9 of chapter 2. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. Lying about our love. We must love our brothers and sisters. But it says in verse 10, he that loveth his brother abideth where? In the light. On board a Navy ship, all Navy ships, there's an intercom system so that you can get a message to a department, to an individuals, to a group, or to the entire ship, all at one time. On the naval ships, this intercom system that runs throughout the ship is called the 1MC. The number 1, the letter MC. So we all called it the 1MC. And if a message was for the entire crew, especially from the captain of the ship, they would blow a whistle, a boatsman mate would blow the whistle through the intercom system to get everyone's attention to stop. And the person that is trying to get our attention for this very important message would start his announcement with three words. Now hear this. Now hear this. When you heard that, there's something coming that you better listen to. Well, I'm telling you, church, and John is telling us, now hear this. We should despise darkness. We should not want anything to do with the darkness. Of course, when I speak of darkness, I'm talking about spiritual darkness, evilness, wickedness, sin, the ways of the world. Instead, we should be people of the light. We should be people that desire to walk in the light. We should be people of God. who is light. So my challenge to you and to me this week is to do a self-examination. Are we walking in the light? Or are we choosing to walk in the darkness? If we're walking in darkness, then we need to make a conscious decision. I need to come to the light. Not only for fellowship, I need to come to it for cleansing. Stop telling myself all these lies. I just need to come to the light. Make a conscious decision this week that I'm going to walk in the light with the Lord's help. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help this message sink in. You know it's done a work on me already this week where I need to walk in the light and not choose darkness. Lord, I pray that you would help us to examine our lives, our ways, our thoughts, our actions, our deeds. Are we choosing the darkness rather than the light? Are we lying to ourselves about it? Are we renaming our sin so it's not that bad? Bring us to that conscious awareness of sin, of darkness, and of the light. I pray that you bless these that have been here tonight, those who have listened and watched through live stream. I pray for Miss Powell tonight. I pray for Pastor Ennis. I pray for Brother Rob's mother. Lord, I pray that your hand would move in their lives and they would feel your presence. And Lord, that you would heal as only you can. We're going to give you the glory. We're going to give you the honor and the praise for all that's accomplished. Thank you, Lord, for your love and mercy. Thank you for the light. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.